Mr. Best, would you want to reserve any rebuttal time?
Your Honor, if I could reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal?
Yes, sir. You may proceed.
Thank you, Your Honors. May it please the Court. My name is Michael Besty. On behalf of Michael Sattelmeyer, the appellant in this matter. This case began back in 2005, March 2005, at which time, while at work, Mr. Sattelmeyer was crushed by a large metal desk, knocking him unconscious, crushing him, at which time he sustained neck, back pain, right shoulder pain radiating, left leg pain as well. Since that time.
So the bottom line in this case is whether the compensable injury created a situation where his knee gave way and he damaged his teeth.
Yes, Your Honor. And I would submit that in determining causation in that matter, that lay testimony, that Michael Sattelmeyer's testimony should also be considered in this matter. I would submit that in the record at page 67, the opinion of the full commission, it was recognized that Michael Sattelmeyer did testify under the dental treatment paragraph, in which case it says the claimant testified to stumbling on several occasions as a result of or caused by radiating leg pain. Nevertheless, at the last sentence of that paragraph, states nothing in Dr. Crossan's notes reasonably alludes to this conclusion, that is causation, and we decline to speculate as to any causal connections. But speculation wouldn't be a requirement in absence of overt listing of causation in the medical records, because there's clear testimony which can be found at page 17 of the appendix by Mr. Sattelmeyer on that point. This court has found and held in the past that both direct and circumstantial evidence may be used to find causation. It's medical
evidence.
The
doctor never said it. There wasn't causation. Mm-hmm. He simply didn't address causation at all. Is that a fair statement?
I would say that's fair. I also believe that reasonable inferences can be drawn from the medical records. And in a lot of these cases cited in appellant's brief, I believe Cridlin and the other being Testerman as well, do provide that a doctor's notes often are used to treat the claimant. They're used to as a physician, treat the person under the circumstances.
Well, here, the commission is, you would agree, I guess, is the fact finder, right? We have
yes,
a lot of case law that says that. And if the commission had made the reasonable inference that you argue they should have made, standard of review would favor them, wouldn't it?
If the standard of review, I believe that an inappropriate standard of review was applied here, because the commission stating that based on Dr. Crossan's notes alone, they can only speculate as to any causal connection. In essence, they're stating that any other evidence was not recognized, and in fact that that delay testimony would not be considered. And I mentioned Cridlin in this. This was 22 VA App 171 in 1996, Court of Appeals case in which the employer argued that the commission violated a rule that it must look to medical evidence to ascertain the cause of a claimant's injury. The Court of Appeals rejected this argument, holding that the testimony of a claimant may also be considered and should, in fact, be considered when the medical evidence is inconclusive. As Judge Frank pointed out, it is inconclusive in this matter because there's not a clear, well-structured sentence saying whether or not causation is here. In fact, we can use reasonable inferences, which I believe can be used in the second argument of appellant's briefs to show that the medical evidence does substantiate causation in this matter.
Mr. Besty, may I ask you, you've got two assignments of error here. Wouldn't you say, first of all, that in reciting the claimant's testimony, the commission did consider his testimony?
In response, Your Honor, I would submit that the commission did, in fact, recognize that he did testify. Yes, and both Deputy Commissioner Bruner at the trial level, I believe, mentioned that he did, in fact, testify. However, Deputy Commissioner Bruner also states that no medical record proves that the claimant's falls were related, or in other words, that medical evidence is required to show causation. And so while it is mentioned in the findings of fact that Mr. Saddlemyer did, in fact, testify, I would submit that it wasn't, in fact, considered in arriving to that determination because the commission found that only the medical evidence can substantiate.
Well, that was my second question. If you would say that the commission did, in fact, recognize the claimant's testimony, then the commission, in arriving at its decision, must have done one of two things. Either concluded that only medical evidence, which it found not to be sufficient, could establish the claim, or rejected the testimony of the claimant, which in its opinion, it didn't say it did.
And I understand, Your Honor, and in fact...
I mean, is that correct? Would you say that that's a fair reading of what the commission's opinion was?
I would submit that they did not expressly reject the testimony of the claimant. It is interesting in the aquatic therapy section that they relied upon...
for the very same thing.
And they, in fact, relied upon the testimony of
the claimant.
In this instance, I would submit that sentence, nothing in the Dr. Carlson's notes reasonably alludes to causation, and we decline to speculate as to causation. I would submit that suggests that speculation would be something that would arise only in the absence of any other evidence to suggest causation. Here, at page 17 of the record, Mr. Saddlemyer was asked specifically what was making you fall. In response, he said there was radiating pain from his back into his left leg, which is what he's been treated for since 2005, causing his leg to give out, in which time he did fall. That being said, I would submit that speculation wouldn't be necessary because that testimony was there. And I suggest that this infers that, in fact, the testimony was not considered in that matter by the commission.
I guess you have to base it on that it was ignored, right? Because you can't say, well, they just didn't make that reasonable inference, which they should have made, because we're bound by their reasonable inferences on appeal, aren't we? It's a reasonable inference of a factual finding.
Yes, Your Honor, I would agree that a reasonable inference would this court would be bound by that finding. However, in this instance, again, with Deputy Commissioner Bruner's finding on page 54, in which he's looking for a medical record to prove this matter, and again on page 67 of the record, only speculation can be relied upon. I would suggest that this shows that testimony was ignored in the consideration of.
I see on page 54, on page 67, can you take me to where you were reading from again? I'm sorry.
Yes, Your Honor. The sentence immediately before the aquatic therapy.
Okay. Nothing. I see. Thank you.
And again, with respect to the second argument, I understand that, again, this court is bound by the reasonable inferences, the fact findings of the trial courts and the commission. However, when the factual findings are unsupported by credible evidence, a legal issue is presented. And in this instance, I would submit that even relying upon the medical records alone, that causation is found and the burden should have been sustained in this matter. At page 31 to 32 of the record, a statement in Dr. Carlson's records at the very bottom of the page states, reason for visit, he felt, has an eye injury in that instance. Now, Mr. Saddlemyer felt several times, as the record shows and as his testimony shows, and he fell and has an eye injury, and the diagnosis is chronic pain syndrome right next to that, the very reason for which he is receiving workers' compensation. Certainly, at the top of the next page, fall from other slipping, tripping, or stumbling is listed as well as a diagnosis. However, I'd also submit that these are diagnosis codes, again, throughout these cases, cited in appellant's brief, whether it's a Testament case or the Cridlin case. The medical records are used for the physician as a tool to treat the patient, not to prove causation. And as with the commission especially, where experts are infrequently brought into court because medical records are in fact admissible, I'd submit that this is particularly true here. Again, for the reasons stated in appellant's brief, and also at argument today, I would respectfully request that the decision of the full commission be reversed. And consistent with, I'd point out Commissioner Marshall's dissent, relying also upon testimony. And without any further questions from the court, I'd like to save the remainder of the time for rebuttal.
I think you have 4 minutes left.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Good morning.
Good morning. May it please the court. My name is Chris Sadie, and I am the attorney for the appellees in this matter.
Is anything in the review opinion that says they didn't believe the claimant?
No, there's not, but there doesn't necessarily need to be. It doesn't appear that there's an issue of credibility. Credibility generally would address a person's truthfulness, and then the possibility of whatever that they're asserting could happen. And in this case, I don't think there was an issue of whether they didn't believe, the finder of fact believed or didn't believe that what Mr. Saddlemeyer said was what he believed. The issue is whether, is it factually true or not, and whether it was in fact the industrial injury that caused him to fall versus one of many other possible causes.
The commission specifically talked about there was nothing in Dr. Crossan's records to indicate causation.
Well, that's not exactly true. The comment that was made in Dr. Crossan's note, March 26, says it was some other slipping, tripping, or falling. That does address that issue. Now, whether he slipped because of a wet floor or tripped over a wet puppy, it doesn't say that. But some slipping, tripping, falling does address the causation of the fall.
Counsel, let me ask you. At the hearing before the deputy commissioner, isn't it accurate to say that the appellant testified about his chronic pain and how his left knee would, quote, kind of give out, end quote, which caused him to stumble and fall, that he'd fallen a couple of times, and in the process of falling, he had hit his jaw and basically fractured some teeth?
He did testify to that, and the
now,
commission
you would say
that,
that would establish causation, would you?
I would say that if that were true versus what Mr. Saddlemeyer believed, then it would establish causation.
Do you argue that the commission rejected his testimony?
I argue that they did not find him necessarily not credible, but they did reject that testimony.
What's the language of the opinion that supports that? Didn't they base their entire opinion on the fact that the medical evidence did not establish causation?
The medical evidence didn't establish a link between the industrial accident and the fall.
Yes.
The opinion said, although we note that Dr. Crossan's records reflect that the claimant reported having falls, we find no medical record which proves that the claimant's falls were related to his compensable injuries.
Yes, sir.
So
that's what it said.
I guess to follow through with Judge Clements, is this a de novo review of whether the commission applied the proper standard as to proof of causation?
No, sir. I don't believe it is. The appellants have addressed two particular errors. One, that they erred in not considering any of his testimony, any of Mr. Saddlemeyer's testimony, which, as the court noted before, they did. It's obvious from the decisions that there was some consideration given of that. And then the second issue is whether the medical evidence.
Tell me where in the opinion does it say they gave some consideration to the claimant's testimony?
Where it references what he said about the crush injury and then the radiating pain, where it references the testimony. They're acknowledging what he said, but they're not, the commission was not adopting that as part of their finding of fact. And that was because of the lack of any corroboration of it in from the treating physician, the medical expert in this case, that that was in fact what caused him to fall. Dr. Crossan was treating the claimant for a number of unrelated issues as well, that issues unrelated to this industrial accident. And the medical records don't reflect that Dr. Crossan, as the treating physician, ascribed whatever caused him to fall to this industrial accident.
Doesn't the record
say... In addition...
I'm sorry,
ma'am.
Doesn't the record say that on March 26, 2013, the appellant saw Dr. Crossan and told him that he fell when his leg, quote, gave away again, and that he chipped his tooth, and then Dr. Crossan subsequently diagnosed chronic pain syndrome from, quote, fall from other slipping, tripping, or stumbling, end quote.
Well, those are not in the exact same section, but the diagnosis of chronic pain syndrome is an ongoing notation in all of his records because that's what Dr. Crossan is treating him for and maintaining ongoing treatment of him for that. But for the issue of the falling, which is what we're here for today, one can infer that he doesn't associate it with the industrial accident because he doesn't order any type of diagnostic of any kind to determine why he's falling, nor does he offer any kind of treatment to address whatever may or may not be causing him to fall.
Continue.
And the appellee merely contends that the decision of the commission was correct and it should be affirmed.
Thank you. Mr. Bestin.
Thank you, Your Honor. And in response, Your Honor, the appellant puts a lot of reliance on the language of the opinion of the full commission and at page 67 in particular with respect to the first argument. Of the panel. And in looking at particularly that first paragraph, and it's not a verbose opinion, and there is one paragraph specifically on the dental treatment, there's a recognition that the claimant did testify regarding the stumbling and the occasions, on several occasions as a result of or is caused by the radiating left leg. This is exactly Mr. Saddlemeyer's workers' compensation injury. He has lower back pain with radiculopathy.
Does the commission, in its opinion, have to say not only what it says here about claimant testified to stumbling on several occasions result of radiating leg pain and then, you know, the chipped tooth as a result of the fall, so forth. Does the commission actually have to say, but we reject that testimony or we don't believe that testimony in related to causation? Or is that simply inferable that's what they did when they then went back to the doctor's notes and evidence from the treating physicians and said there's nothing in there that convinces us of this.
And certainly, Your Honor, the first suggestion wouldn't be accurate. We don't have that requirement or the courts don't have that requirement to show exactly what is adopted and what is rejected throughout all the evidence. However, I believe it's more than an inference that testimony was rejected, as the court clearly states that because nothing in the medical records suggests causation, only a speculation can be relied upon.
So the fact that they say there's nothing in the medical testimony that says it, and we're just not going to speculate. If they hadn't used the word speculate, then it would have been acceptable to simply say no more and reject claimant's testimony.
Perhaps, Your Honor, I do believe so. But I also think that the commission clearly said there's nothing else to consider by using that language and
using the verb speculate.
Essentially, Your Honor, yes. And with Deputy Commissioner Bruner's the same language in which he said no medical record proves. He doesn't use the word speculate. However, again, I believe that much more than speculation is left. And certainly the commission wouldn't be left with only speculation at that point. There is clear evidence. Also, with respect to the second argument in appellant's brief, this is the worker
workers' compensation treating doctor. Dr. Carlson treats Mr. Saddlemyer for these injuries for left leg radiculopathy. This is what makes him fall. I think it's clear, and I think that an inference is required. And as a matter of fact, the aquatic therapy section of the opinion, the deputy commissioner and the commission, the full commission as well, states that this is who is treating Mr. Saddlemyer for these injuries. And in that sense, in that section of the opinion, the burden shifted because this is Dr. Carlson's treatment. So it is suggested that if Mr. Saddlemyer is going to Dr. Carlson for these injuries, that they are in fact related. Here, he's going to Dr. Carlson frequently, repeatedly for his falling. It wasn't just one instance, but rather it was over the holidays. Again, he injured his eye when he hit the mailbox. He fell in the parking lot and chipped his teeth. And I would submit that the evidence is clear. And I see I'm out of time, but if the appellant does respectfully request that the decision be reversed.
All right, so thank you. We'll greet counsel.
Can we take a break?
Thank you.